Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our God and Father, and from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today marks the third week that we've been in John chapter 16 this Easter season. And in John 16, we've been doing a lot of listening to Jesus as he prepares his disciples for a number of things. For his upcoming death and resurrection, to assure them that their sorrow will turn to joy, that they will and they will not see him in a little while, an allusion to his ascension, something we celebrate here at Zion Wednesday evening and Thursday morning at noon. And that also the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will come to them and bring them all that Jesus is and all that Jesus has. And that the same Holy Spirit will declare to them the glories and the riches of their Savior, Jesus Christ, their Rabbi, their friend. With so much going on in John 16, it's good that we've been here for a few weeks, as we always are every year in the lectionary. And today at the end of chapter 16, we hear about a desire from the apostles as they go to Jesus and ask him for plain speech, for Jesus to speak plainly to them, Peter, James, John, and all the rest. They don't want figurative speech. They've heard much of that already in the form of parables. They want their Lord to speak plainly, to have plain speech. We might say they want Jesus to talk turkey to them, to speak freely, to speak candidly. Jesus has been reluctant to speak plainly to them, candidly, because when Jesus does tell them something, as we know from Scripture, the disciples were prone to misunderstand what he was saying from time to time. They tend to hear what they want to hear, or they're just not listening that well. We see an example of this in Mark chapter 10. Jesus tells the apostles about his upcoming death, how he will suffer, how he will be tormented, mocked, and scourged. He will be killed, and after 3 days he will rise again. And then James and John, right after this, they go to Jesus and ask him, well, what are we going to get out of this? If you're going to suffer and go through all these things, likely we will too. So we want to know that there's something in it for us. Lord, who will be at your right hand, at your left hand in glory? Will it be one of us? Well, Jesus corrects their misguided thirst for an understanding of greatness. And he tells them what it means to be great in the eyes of God rather than the eyes of men. As Jesus says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would like to be first among you must be slave of all. So Jesus' words here in John 16 and everywhere bear the Spirit's power and presence. Jesus' words here in all of Scripture are words that sanctify. They are sanctifying speech. They sanctify the listener of those words, and they also sanctify our speech as we seek to echo the very words that Jesus speaks as well. He who hears you hears me, says the Lord in Luke chapter 10. But this is where you and I can often find conflict, in the sanctifying speech of Jesus and the sanctifying of our speech by the same Lord Jesus through his word and the power of the Spirit. Now, Jesus' brother, St. James, writes about the mouth, about speech, in one of our readings for today as he addresses important matters for leaders of the church and by extension all the chosen people of God. In verse 26 of chapter 1, James says this, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. He'll return to this theme later on in chapter 3 when he talks about how dangerous that unbridled mouth, the tongue, is. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, James says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. St. James and his brother, our Lord Jesus, teach us, and we ourselves know from experience that words that flow from our lips matter. What we say matters, and there's a whole host of passages in Scripture that say that very thing. Here are just two more. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, And this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These things defile a person. It's not what you eat, but what you say, what comes from your heart and out of your mouth. Speech that comes from our mouth says something about what's going on in here, in the heart. And again, from St. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, he writes, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." St. Paul no doubt heard his fair share of garbage, more than enough unbridled tongues. And 2,000 years later, there's no shortage of garbage, no shortage of filthiness, no shortage of foolish talk, no shortage of crude joking. We hear it from politicians. We hear it on television regularly. What was taboo 20 or 30 years ago was fair game and indeed encouraged for that shock factor. We hear comedians who oftentimes aren't really that funny use such vulgarity. We hear it from those who despise authority, as St. Paul or St. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2. And no doubt you have heard your fair share in homes of friends and family, at garages, in camps, at the coffee shop, around the dinner table, at the restaurant, in the locker room, on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat. There is no place that is safe from unholy and unsanctified speech and speaking. And just guessing, perhaps you might have said your fair share as well. Maybe some of you more than others. Some of us are more prone to that unbridled tongue, whether it's in the form of vulgarity or consistent and constant complaining like we hear in Numbers chapter 21. Though if we are all honest, we can all stand condemned by our unsanctified speech. Well, what's the remedy? Will the old-fashioned ways do the trick? Will it be bars of soap in everyone's mouth, like our mothers used to give to us when we were young, when a little child would say something they ought not to say? Well, for starters, we know that no one really buys soap anymore, soap bars at least, so maybe that won't work. But for starters, we ought to heed our Savior's words, having the sanctified speech of Jesus fill our ears and our hearts as we've been listening to Jesus these past few weeks in John chapter 16. And we can also listen to the profound warning from Jesus in Matthew 12 as he says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned." And that statement alone from our Lord Jesus should send us to our knees and call out to our God in repentance. This should lead us all to confess with our mouths that what has come out of our mouths, how unbridled our tongues may have been, how unsanctified our speech was, is not how we want to be known, is not how we want to be remembered, that our religion is not worthless, and that our hearts are not full of unrighteousness, and that our mouths are not a raging fire seeking to burn anything and everything we can. And so we pray, rogate, we ask. We ask for God to give us a new vocabulary, a new lexicon, to fill our hearts, to fill our mouths with his goodness, his truth, to forgive every one of our careless words. And he has. He has forgiven it all. What insult that has been spoken hasn't been absorbed in the holy flesh and the holy ears of Jesus' death? What sins of the heart that flow out of the mouth haven't been atoned for by Jesus as he died on the cross for you, for me, in his triumphal resurrection? The Father's wrath toward all unbridled mouths, towards all unsanctified speech, has been satisfied. And so because of Jesus, through faith, with repentant hearts and mouths that confess all sin and confess Jesus as Lord, a new way, a new life, a new heart, a new mouth, a new tongue that can declare the excellencies of Christ Jesus is given to you. Of course, you and I, we cannot control what other people say, but with the Holy Spirit's help, We can speak the truth in love. We can sing his praises. We can thank the Lord who has so cleansed us by the blood of the Lamb, who sanctifies our tongues with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, who fills our ears with Jesus' sanctified speech, that Jesus' words would be our own, and that Jesus' voice would dance off the lips of his forgiven, chosen people. May we so ask for that, and may we so also receive it, as our Lord has promised us. And may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds and tongues in our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.